Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight program. I am Anubha Rohatgi, and the topic for discussion is Escalating West Asia Conflict and Risks for Global Energy Security. Former Ambassador D.P. Srivastav now joins me in the program to share his views and insights on this issue. Ambassador Srivastav, welcome to Akashvani's Spotlight program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your program.
Ambassador Srivastav, the conflict in West Asia has been on for more than 20 days now. It has disrupted oil and gas shipments and sent energy prices higher. What is your assessment of the present situation?
The situation is going from bad to worse because there has been continuous escalation. Just as President Trump said that the war will end pretty soon, his statement was followed by his defense secretary announcing intensification of bombing. And this was followed by Israeli bombing, Iranian oil depot, followed by a strike against South Pars, which even President Trump said he was not aware of and he obviously didn't approve. But that has already set in motion a chain of reactions, which included Iranian retaliation against oil installations across the Gulf in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, in UAE, in Qatar. And the biggest strike was in Qatar, Ras Laffan plant.
Yes.
17% of the plant has been put out of action. And Hormuz Strait remains blocked. President Trump has issued an ultimatum that unless it is this passage is opened up within 48 hours, the U.S. will start bombing and obliterate Iran's power plants. So this may in turn bring in further retaliation against similar installations across the Gulf. So the Gulf countries, which are not belligerents, become the collateral damage. This will prolong the conflict and make the situation more difficult. The oil prices have already risen steeply. The price of Indian crude oil basket has reached $156 per barrel. Before the war broke out, it was $70 per barrel. So there has been more than 100% increase or 110% increase in this during this 20 years period when the war has raged on. There has been doubling of the LNG prices.
Right.
And LNG situation is more grim because unlike oil, there's no storage for LNG.
So much of Iran's top leadership has been wiped out in the conflict and its energy and nuclear infrastructure are being repeatedly targeted. And yet it has refused to give in. You've served as India's ambassador in Iran. In your view, what is Iran's strategy and what does its response show?
Iran has displayed the capacity to prosecute the war in the midst of leadership transition. This points out to a fatal flaw in the assumptions made by Israel and U.S. when they launched the strike against Iran. Iran is not Venezuela. The American calculation that, you know, they will give in after the top leader has been captured or killed has proved wrong. They have been able to replace the leaders both in the civilian and in the military field. There's a new supreme leader. And similarly, on the military side, as soon as a senior commander is killed, the replacement is immediately there. Iran has a distributed power structure. And before the war, perhaps anticipating a similar situation, Iran's government decided to decentralize power more. And that is what you see in action, that despite the assassination of senior most civilian leaders, which included Ayatollah Khamenei, Mr. Larijani was the head of the Security Council, was the latest, and killing off a number of military commanders, the war has continued and Iran has shown the capacity to hit Israeli targets. The latest hits have been in the area near Dimona, the Israeli nuclear power plants. This is the first time Iranian missiles have penetrated that area. So the assumption that decapitation strike will bring Iran to the knee has proved wrong and the war continues.
Now, along with attacks on crucial energy infrastructure in the region by the parties involved, Iran has effectively blocked the Strait of Hormuz, which is crucial for the transit of about 20% of the world's oil and LNG. How are these developments impacting and reshaping global energy security?
The Persian Gulf accounts for 20% of global oil supply. There is no alternate source which can compensate for loss of oil supplies on such a big scale. International Energy Agency has announced release of 400 million barrels per day. This, of course, will be only the beneficiaries will be only the IEA members. India is not a member. But even this 400 million barrel release is spread out over a number of months. So the daily increase or release will not amount to more than 2 or 3 million barrels per day, while the closure of the Persian Gulf means loss of 20 million barrels per day of supply. And that is why, despite there has been no moderating effect of the IEA's announcement on the price of oil, which has continued to rise. The Brent has risen from around $72 or $74 per barrel before the war started to $112 per barrel today. I already mentioned Indian basket has more than doubled from $70 to $156. The LNG prices have doubled. The gas prices in Europe have gone up. And unfortunately, this is going to be a long-term problem because Qatar has announced that the damage to its LNG plant, which is the world's largest LNG plant, will take up to 3 to 5 years to repair. And what reinforces the loss of production and the loss of supply through Hormuz is the steep increase in the insurance. The seven of the largest insurance companies have stopped giving war risk coverage to shipping in Persian Gulf region. This is qualitatively different and much worse than the situation in the Red Sea 2 years back when the Houthi attack started. At that time, the insurance rates went up, but the war risk coverage was still available. Here, war risk coverage itself is not available. And even when it is restored, which will take a long time, there will be a further time lag before the insurance rates, normalize. In case of Red Sea, despite passage of 2 years, they are still above the historical levels. So we are seeing a long-term energy crisis, which will affect the countries all over the world, including it has already affected us.
Yes.
And the agricultural sector will be affected because $1 per MMBTU increase in the price of gas translates into $20 increase per ton in the price of urea. And urea prices has gone up $400 per ton to more than $640 per ton. So it's a long-term crisis for the entire world.
Right.
Triggered by a war which was entirely avoidable.
So a part of India's crude oil imports comes from West Asia via the Strait of Hormuz. And we are one of the few countries that has been able to secure passage for ships through this strait. From a diplomatic point of view, how do you see this concession that New Delhi has been able to secure for itself?
We have historical relations with Iran. And that is why Iran has given this permission for 3 Indian ships to pass through. But it remains a very tenuous situation. Our External Affairs Minister, Dr. Jaishankar, mentioned that India does not have a blanket permission, which means we have to secure permission on case-by-case basis, which is a very uncertain situation. And in case the war continues, this situation will also continue. So we need to bring this war to a quick end, and that's the only way to ensure that Persian Gulf opens up, because you cannot expect one side to continue the war and the other side to show restraint. And President Trump's attempt or, call for NATO and China to contribute naval units have not produced any positive results. If the world's most powerful navy does not want to go inside the Persian Gulf, what will the smaller navies do? And China has, of course, no interest in going along with this, because perhaps their long-term interest is to see America weaken by its entanglement in forever war of the Middle East. So only way to bring this disastrous situation to a closure is to have an immediate end to Israeli and American bombardment of Iran, an end to Iranian attacks on targets in the Gulf countries and opening up of the Persian Gulf to international shipping.
So, Mr. Srivastav, could energy importing countries, including India, in the present scenario, reduce dependence on West Asia in the long term? And specifically, what are the options for India to ensure its energy security?
As I mentioned, there is no known source of oil supply to substitute for 20% of oil which comes from the Gulf region. So diversification by an individual country is not possible because you have to see the global maps. It's not a question of one country securing its supplies. And in case of LNG, situation is even more grim because we don't have LNG storage. Rich countries like America and Europe have gas storage. We don't have gas storage. The only long-term option, and this will take 5 years perhaps or more, but it's high time that we begin working on it, is an undersea pipeline. This is a project for Middle East to India deep water pipeline from either Oman or UAE to India. A deep water pipeline will be insulated from the geopolitical risks which the surface shipping is exposed to. So we have to explore all these options.
Right. Okay. So, Mr. Srivastav, since the beginning of the conflict, Prime Minister Modi has stepped up diplomatic outreach and spoken with world leaders, including those in West Asia, to address rising security and economic concerns. What role can India play through the Prime Minister and through back-channel diplomacy in de-escalating the situation in West Asia?
Prime Minister has been in touch with leaders in Europe, also in the region, with Arab countries ranging from Jordan, Saudi Arabia, UAE to Iranian President Pezeshkian. But as I said, India margin is limited. The problem started with Israeli and American strikes against Iran. You know, I have had a long career in foreign service.
Right.
There is a margin of persuasion, but where one country faces an existential risk, it will not accept compromise. So the starting point has to be end the bombing campaign. And this has to be accompanied by ending Iranian attacks on Gulf countries and opening up of the Hormuz Strait.
Right. My last question, Ambassador Srivastav, is that beyond the risks to global energy security and supply chains, what are the implications of the conflict in West Asia in reshaping and realigning the present world order?
The reshaping of the present world order is taking place in front of our eyes. US has been forced to lift sanctions against Russian oil. You would recall that President Trump led a high-pitched campaign and imposed punitive tariff on India for buying Russian crude. And now President Trump has been forced to lift sanctions on supply of Russian oil in order to moderate the oil price hike, which is also affecting American consumers. So Russia has gained, but perhaps the biggest winner is China. President Trump called on China to cooperate in opening of the Persian Gulf. China did not give a positive response. It is already receiving its oil shipments from Iran. So it has no particular incentive to cooperate with the US. And its long-term interest perhaps is to see America bead in a distant war, which also strengthens Chinese position in the Far East. So the third aspect, which I fear is going to affect countries of the region, that is Middle East, is that after the war, there will be serious rethinking about alliance with the US, because the Arab countries will be questioning this alliance has only brought them Iranian retaliation without American protection. What is the point? So even in this case, before the war started, Saudi Arabia and UAE had said that its land and airspace cannot be or should not be used for attacking Iran. So Middle East landscape will also change. So these are three major areas where you will see changes. In two areas, the change has already taken place.
Ambassador Srivastav, thank you so much for joining us in the program and sharing your views and insights on this topic.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.